and it's hard to argue with the truth, you know. And we, you know, sometimes, you know, have to battle, you know, things in this life that, you know, come against us from time to time, and we need to be ready for that. And the title of the message today we're going to talk about is to stand strong. Stand strong. And, you know, we face a lot of opposition in our life. You know, our culture is ever evolving and changing. You know, things that that used to be commonplace years ago are not so common anymore. And things that were not common are very common now. And we as believers are being squeezed and pressed, and the world is trying to mold us so that we try to conform to its image. But see, God challenged us not to be conformed, but God says to us to be transformed. You know, so there's always that decision and that challenge that you and I have to face from time to time. You know, have you ever, you know, had to make a stand for something that you believe in? Maybe at work, maybe in the neighborhood, maybe at a family gathering where you were kind of pressed into a corner and you finally had to make a stand. I mean, not to be mean about it, but you just had to make a stand for what's right. You know, I think we've all been there. You know, something that the Lord spoke to me is sometimes doing what is right isn't always doing what is easy. And that's hard sometimes. For you and I to sometimes do something that's very hard. You know, compromise is good in a marriage, right, men? Uh-oh, preaching the wrong audience today, am I? Yeah. The only time I believe compromise is good is in a marriage. You know, but we shouldn't have to compromise our morals or our values to be able to fit in. So that's why we need to be able to make a stand and to be able to understand, you know, what God wants us to do. Now, the apostles, they were just new, and that's what this series is about, is the birth of the church. They were just new to this, and they were forced into a situation. On one hand, the risen Lord had appeared to them. I don't know about you, but I'd be really excited. And I just want to go tell everybody, and we should have that excitement today. So here they were out doing things, and the story where we're going to pick up is about the beggar who was there, and he was wanting a handout. And instead of giving him a handout, Peter stretched his hand out and gave him a hand up. And he was healed. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Bam. Miracle. I don't know about you, but I go tell somebody. So they kept preaching the gospel. They kept telling people about, you know, the risen Lord. And in the process of doing that, have you ever found out that not everybody is excited about Jesus as you are? It's hard to believe, ain't it? Not everybody thinks like I think. I'm still having trouble with that one. You know, why don't everybody just think like I think? But they don't. And that's what was happening here. That the apostles were faced with a dilemma about how they're going to proceed in their faith. And I believe some of us have probably come to those crossroads a time or two. Ephesians 4, 18 to 20 says, "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Rather is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God. You be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and have heard.'" Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much, Lord, for the boldness that you put inside of us as believers, Lord, that we want to walk and do the things you've called us to do. Help us not to shrink back to destruction, but to press on in faith. Lord, I yield to the gift that you've given me, Lord. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we honor you today, and we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, what I found out as I've gotten older, is that sometimes life is complicated. It gets really complicated sometimes, things that we have to deal with. You know, and the apostles, they were there, and they were really upsetting the community because everything had been going along a certain way for so many years. It was bad enough the Romans were there, but they have adapted to it to some degree and started to flow and started to get into this the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life that you and I kind of walk in every day, we, you know, the rhythm of life is a fancy word to say, and we get in a rut sometimes, right? We get in a rut. And then we're doing things a certain way, and we don't like to adapt or change. Now, through them, this man had just gotten healed. Now, they'd been out healing before by the power of God. Now, everything is done by the power of God. You know, Jesus had sent them out with the 12, and he'd sent the 70 out, and they went out, and they've experienced miracles in their life. But so this was probably one of the first miracles that I believe after Jesus rose from the dead, and the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they had reached out, and this man had been healed through their ministry. Now, I don't know about you, but I found out as a pastor and also as a Christian that people really like me when I help them. You know what I mean? Have you ever experienced that in your life? Whenever I go do something nice for somebody, or I give them something that they want, I'm their long-lost buddy. Oh, Pastor Brad, you're the greatest. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know? But on the other hand, when I make a stand for holiness, they don't love me no more. You know what I mean? Some of that love is gone. I'm the same person. To me, the greatest act of love is delivering somebody from sin. God just has been birthing that in my heart this week, that sometimes we misunderstand the idea of what love is all about. Sometimes we just think love is all the feeling and emotion where we just hug somebody and we try to make them feel better, and that's good. We need to do that. But also, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things in my life, the experience of love that I had, was when somebody told me that I had to repent and that I was delivered and that weight of sin was taken off of me. Oh, they could have told me, oh, there, Brad, you're okay, you'll be fine. No, they told me I need to change. I need to repent. I need to turn. And when I did that, I was set free. Now, when we decide to walk in holiness, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get the stare. They look at you like you're funny or something. Or then maybe you hear the whispers. You know, have you ever felt like you're whispered around at work because you have maybe, you don't want to engage in some of the coarse jesting or perhaps the dirty language? You know, that maybe happens and stuff like that. So you say, oh, you know, I'm, you know, just go off and do something else. Or maybe pop your Bible out at lunchtime. You know, all these things. And a lot of times these people are just waiting for you and I to make a mistake so they can pounce on us, right? Have you ever had that one? You know, just waiting for you to make a mistake. They know you're going to. And the odds are you're going to, right? We're all human. We all make mistakes. So they're just waiting for that. So I know that, you know, our goal in life, what I found out is that we shouldn't have a goal to win every popularity contest we enter into. Once you get to that point in your life, you're fine. Because so many times we just think that we got to do all this to make everybody love us and all this, and you know, so we can reach more people. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to win a few popularity contests. If you don't win a couple, yeah, you might need to change your attitude a little bit, right? Because surely there's somebody out there going to like you other than your mom, right? Surely there's somebody else out there. So yes, we need to try to find a way to get along a little bit, but also we need to be that light in a very dark place so that we can be able to, you know, make that difference. Now, I remember a time in my life, it was about 10 years ago or so, that our community was dealing with a situation and, you know, I and another pastor didn't like something, so we decided to unite together and to talk about it. And what it was is up on the square, there was a video store. And that video store, right out in front where all the kids were, they would have Playboy movies. And we thought that was a little bit too much. I mean, really a lot too much. Now, at that time, you know, me, I wasn't really a part of the ministerial association because, you know, I was busy and, you know, some of them were kind of wishy-washy. So this other guy, he was in it. He was the Baptist guy up here, and he's moved on. He's went to another state now. He's a real good guy. But, you know, so he was my liaison to the ministerial association. Well, he would go there, and he'd talk to them, but none of them back at that time would make a stand. None of them didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to make anybody mad. I went to the city council and we spoke there, and I remember talking to them, and because it bothered me. You know, and finally, make a long story short, it come to the place that they finally decided to close off a room and they put the dirty stuff in the back. You know, which I considered, you know, still a victory, amen? Yeah. You know, because a lot of the kids would go up there. Now, some of you don't know what video stores are. It's like a red box, but it's a building. You know what I mean? Back, all those people that bought in the video stores about 15, 20 years ago and didn't get out when the getting was good, you know the pain now. Because there used to be buildings where they would put videos on the shelf and you would go get the box and take it up front and then they would give you the movie. You know, kind of like they do still at Jim and Charlie's. But, you know, it's just kind of something that, you know, I wasn't. Now, some people love me. They just poke me. Go, Pastor Brad. Go, go, go. Get him. Sick him, boy. Other people, oh, man, they avoided me like the plague. They would walk across the street, wouldn't look at me, wouldn't look at me in the eye because I was stirring up problems. I was making, you know, I was making some people feel really uncomfortable to have to deal with something. But I'll be honest, I don't feel pornography is right in any situation, let alone down where kids can kind of see kind of what's going on. Now, the sad thing is some of that stuff's just on regular TV now anyway. You know, but what do you know, that's another story in itself. So it was kind of a, you know, a time when I found in my life where I was a real blessing, but I really irritated some people and made them mad. And that's just the way it is sometimes, you know, and that happens. Now, our goal, I wrote down three things here, which I thought is kind of interesting. You know, number one, our goal should be to love God. Number two, our goal should be to love people. And number three, our goal should be to hate sin. Those three things are our prime directive as a Christian. You know, one and three, we understand loving God and hating sin. But here's where it gets confusing. When we do two and three together, people misunderstand us. Because they say, how can you love people and hate sin? Because, you know, some people are into sin. They like it. You know, they don't want to change. But see, we as Christians hate sin, but we love sinners. And that's what God does. And that's what we have to try to convey this message to people so that people understand that we're not judging them. We're not trying to put them down. But to me, the greatest act of love is when you see somebody come out of that sin. And to get set free where they no longer have to bow their knee to that addiction. So that they don't have to enter into that lifestyle anymore. And that's just something that God challenges us to do. So that we can, you know, as believers, do it. Now, the Lord, as I mentioned, had healed a man through Peter and John. And that made some people mad. I don't understand that. The religious people got mad because they had control. I'm not big on religion. I love Christianity, but I hate religion. Because religion is man-made doctrines and man-made way of controlling people and trying to keep them oppressed and keep them down. But Jesus came to set us free. So what they did is after Peter and John had ministered this great miracle, this man, where this man hadn't walked his whole life, and all of a sudden he jumped to his feet and started praising God. Well, then problems started to happen. You know, it's hard to believe because how do you argue with evidence? How, if you see a man who had been lame, they've walked by this man I don't know how many times and probably given him money, as long as everybody could see him giving money, you know what I mean? That's religion. Hey, look at me, I'm giving this poor guy some money. How many times had they given this guy money? But then all of a sudden, they see the guy walking. How do you deny that? But yet religion did. Please don't misunderstand me, but sometimes you just can't help stupid. Right? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes people get so bound up because they chose to hold on to religious control rather than embrace the truth of the and surrender their lives to Christ. We've all had to come to that point in our life where finally we decided, Lord, I surrender. I give it all to you. You know, I can do this because I'm very talented, Lord. I can do this, but I can only go so far. I can't get all the way. Nobody can get all the way without Christ. And that's why He came, because we need Him. We need Him in our life. And that boldness that we need to be able to stand strong, because as believers we're being challenged. We're being squeezed sometimes. And we need to come to terms with that. The fact of the matter is that we may do the right thing for the right reason, and we're going to get persecuted for it. That's just the way it is. And sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes we make a stand for Christ, and I know I have. And then I'm out there in the battle, in the thick of things, and sometimes you feel like you're standing alone, but yet you're still standing. And we need to stand by the grace He gives us. But you're out there and you're in that battle, and you're saying and you're doing what's right, but the persecution just keeps coming stronger and stronger. And sometimes you wonder, God, you know, why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I being persecuted for trying to help somebody? That's just the way it is. Because we're in a world that's in conflict. And the world that we live in is between forces that sometimes that we can never see with our naked eye. We can only see with the spiritual eye. And the war is between light and darkness. The war is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And there's many people out there who are just pawns of the devil. And he's pulling the strings like a puppet master. And he's stirring them up to hate. As they say, haters gotta hate, right? And they do. And there's sometimes that we're just going to have to stand strong and just keep going and surrender our life to God, because that's the world of a Christian. You know, we live in a country where sometimes this stuff isn't as bad. You know, in other countries, it's very bad. You know, Christians being executed for their faith, all because they're making a stand for Christ. They're being put to death. So that's why we need to understand that we can learn by their example that we need to just stand strong. You know, we're kind of scared of maybe making a stand at work or in front of our family. All these things because, you know, we don't want to be left out, you know. You know, I don't want to be not invited to the party, you know. But we need to, you know, be able to make that decision. So what are some truths that we can get from God's Word maybe to help us with this? Because you and I are the best advertisement that God has, right? This is how people come to know Jesus, is through you and I and other believers around the world. Well, number one, we need to see that Jesus is our foundation. You know, Peter and John finally had built their faith and trust on the solid rock. Now, just a previous book, right, or two, they weren't like that, were they? Persecution came and they ran. Persecution came and Peter had denied Jesus three times in one night. Jesus called it, man. You're going to deny me three times. No, I'm not. Yes, you did. And that's what happened. But all of a sudden, something changed. They had come in contact with the risen Lord. And the risen Lord had promised them an experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gave them the boldness that they needed to be able to reach that lost and dying world, where before they ran away, now they could stand strong. And you and I need that experience, where we know that the Holy Spirit is with us as we come to know the risen Lord. In Acts chapter 4, 8 to 12, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as how this man has become been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health.'" They just said it like it was. Hey, it's not because of me, it's because of He. Jesus is the one. He's the one who is the healer. He's the one who is able to bring them to the other side. Then they go on to say, "He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, by which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we are saved." There's only salvation through Jesus Christ, people. And we're at a crossroads in the Christendom. Many people say there's other ways. But are you bold enough to say Jesus is the only way? Can you look somebody of the Muslim faith in the eye and say, "I'm sorry, but I believe in the Bible, and the Bible says Jesus is the only way. Can you look somebody from another religion and actually say that Jesus is the only way? Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because it says it right here. This is copied from a real Bible. Jesus is the only way. And we need to make that stand for Him. As I mentioned, they ran away before, but now they believed in the cornerstone. Most of us don't understand what a cornerstone is, but when they were going to build a great building, they would get a big stone, and they would get that cornerstone that was really square, and they would set that stone, and then they would use a string line, and they would line the whole building up with that cornerstone so that the building would be straight and it would be strong. And it became that great foundation that you and I need. We need a foundation. You know, I was thinking about a great foundation and how sometimes we don't have one. Has anybody ever tried skateboarding? Now, you parents, do not try this at home right now. Amen. Amen? How many stepped on something with four wheels? It's nasty, isn't it? When I was a kid, skateboards were only like, you know, 15 inches long. That's when they first came out. I had one, and I lived in the farm. I mean, where are you going to ride a skateboard at, you know? I mean, I just didn't have any place to really go. It's probably good because I never really broke any bones as a kid. But then they come out with these long skateboards and all these things. And one thing I do know, never oil the wheels on a skateboard. They go faster, right? I've learned that. But see, that's what life is sometimes like when we don't have that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. We get on something, it's like that skateboard. And I'll tell you what, if you just shift your weight a little bit, you're going down. Them skateboards are dangerous. And see, that's what life is like without Jesus Christ. We can easily fall. Now, we can get back up again. But if we can alleviate some of the pain in life, I think that's all good, right? Why believe for healing if you can walk in divine health? Amen? So that's why we need to settle in our hearts that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. We know in the Greek in that scripture, I make a long story short, the definite article is in front of that. And what that actually means in the translation is that Jesus is the only way, there is no other. He is the only life, there is no other. He is the only truth, there is no other. That's a message that's conveying. And that's something that we have to settle in our heart. Next, we need to understand that we need to obey, you know, God in the midst of opposition. You know, it's not a matter of fact if we face opposition, but when we face it. You know, I got saved at a time when people would say, oh, just believe in Jesus, you'll never have another problem. Wrong. Then they wonder why so many people were falling away. That's false information, people. We're all going to face off opposition. The matter of fact, the Bible says those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. I mean, so if you're getting persecuted, man, you must be doing something right. Right? So that's just the way life is sometimes. So how do we do that? You know, the old saying, to obey or not to obey, that is the question. I know that's a paraphrase on something else. But we all have that decision to make. Am I going to obey? Am I going to follow Christ? Am I going to do what's been revealed to me through the Word? You know, it's one thing to know the Word, and there's a lot of people that understand it. Some people memorize it. But it's another thing when we have to do the Word. It all comes back down to putting feet to our faith. And that's what I've found out. If you want to grow in Christ, we actually have to do what it is we have read. I know it sounds too simple, right? You know, like that guy, you know, back in the Old Testament where, you know, he was from another country and, you know, he wanted to be healed. And the prophet said, just go wash yourself in that river. Say what? Our rivers are better where I come from. Why would I jump in that dirty river? And then finally his helper said, just go do it. And he did it and he was healed. You know, mainly just following through and putting feet to our faith will help us to see. Because the world, it's trying to stop us. It's trying to mold us. It says, just fit in, but Christian, don't you dare draw attention to yourself. Don't you dare try to push your truth on me. Don't you dare try to tell me what the Bible says. I don't want to hear it. Well, that's fine. That's free will, man. But we are commanded to preach. I suppose give them some earplugs or something, right? Whatever it takes. But we are commanded to tell and to do. Something I heard is that today's tests are tomorrow's testimonies. How many's got a lot of testimonies here today? Amen? We've been through a lot of tests, a lot of trials. Now, what I found next is the idea that when we make a stand in closing is the fact that Jesus lives through us, and this is what we need to get to in our life. Sometimes we think we're all by ourselves down here and that nobody's with us. Now, I've heard a lot of people tell me as a pastor that they're not smart enough. They've told me that they're not good enough. They've told me that, you know, they'll never, you know, do a certain thing just because, you know, they know they never can. They haven't yet, so why would they start now? Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, you ought to highlight this one. It says, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated." How many is uneducated? Don't raise your hand. Okay. That was a trick. "And untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go to seminary. All you have to do is know Jesus. Spend some time with Jesus. Now, those things are good. We need those things, those other things. But the most thing that we need the most of every in our life is to know Jesus by spending time with Him. And as we do that, then we also can shake up this world a little bit. Thousands of people were getting saved because of their stand. Not just hundreds, thousands. Now, the devil hated them. Religious people hated them. Because when we make a stand, you know, the devil doesn't like it because that's when people see that Jesus is real. We've got to get Jesus out of the box, man. We've got to open that box up. Let him see. And when we stand firm in the power of God, by the power of God, then the power of God is released in our lives. So we need, it needs to be released. Now, God's power isn't so we can have goosebumps all the time, but it's so then people can be set free. So how do we apply this to our life? Some things we have to recognize. Number one, as you all know already, you're going to face opposition from time to time. So just be ready. Don't be surprised by it. You know, I face it from quite frequently. Things all of a sudden just don't go my way. I'm just ready for it. First, I see, is there something I did to open the door? If that's not the case, I just, hey, count it all joy. I'm just being attacked by the devil because he hates me. You know what I mean? So that's just number one. Next, if we're willing to make a stand for him, he is willing to stand up in us. You want to know Jesus? Make a stand for him. Most people want to know Jesus in a deeper way. I believe most believers want that. But to do that, we're going to have to make a stand. And when we make that stand, that's when we start to experience the presence of God better in our life. Next, you know, check your motive. Make sure that our motive is to glorify Him and draw attention to self. We've all watched this when people kind of get in the flesh. We've all been there, right? We're just trying to draw attention to us. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. So, you know, don't go down that road. Next, daily decisions determine our destiny. So it's what we do every day. Don't put it on cruise control or autopilot, right? You know, I heard a story on the news, and the guy won some money out of the deal. He'd bought a one of those big mobile home deals you drive in, you know, those travel things. And he thought that when you put it on cruise control, you get up out of the seat. Hey, I'm serious. He won the lawsuit. I don't know if they didn't word stuff right correctly in the book, but he won the lawsuit. It was on the news. Hard to believe. But we can't do that. Don't put it on cruise control. You know, we got to keep our hands on the wheel. And lastly, stand strong. And know this, if you don't think you can stand anymore, Jesus will give you the grace to stand, and that's why we need each other. I commend you for being here today. You parents, getting your kids in church. You know, teaching the right thing to do so they can grow in Christ and to be able to know Jesus in a deeper way. Because I'll be honest, I believe the way our culture is going, you know, our children especially are going to have to learn this experience about how to stand strong in the power of God. Let's pray.